this morning I wanted to shift gears, start talking about Christmas. I mean, every year comes the holidays and I'm like, oh, you know, we're in the middle of a study and do I interrupt it? And I'm probably like, no, I'm not going to do it this year. And then it always comes down, push comes to shove. I'm like, all right, I got to preach on some Christmas stuff. So we're going to give into that, which is good to remember and recall what the Lord has done for us. And we only got a couple more weeks already. My wife and I have been asking, you know, what do you want? And she wants to know what I want. And, you know, we asked our daughter what she wants, and she has no problem writing a list. But do you find, like, I mean, some of you guys have been married longer than we have. Does it get harder? All right, thank you. I'm like, you know, I don't really need more stuff. But I want more stuff. I don't know what I want, though. And but to turn around and just look beyond it all. Last night we were down. We had the pageant. And then afterwards, you know, we've kind of teamed up with the town with that. And I think it's a good thing. The town has a little fair going on during the afternoon. And then they send their kids up here, and we go through the pageant. We get an opportunity to talk about Jesus and talk about why he came. And then we go back down. You heard everyone go down for the tree lighting, so I, you know, feel I need to be down there. So we go down there, and we sing around the Christmas tree. And last night, it just kind of struck me as, you know, as you're singing the religious songs, we're singing about, you know, Silent Night, Holy Night, the Son of God coming. We talk about the angels. We talk about all these events and really how spectacular it is that God came here. I mean, think about that. You know, back when I was in high school, we used to call it slumming. We used to go down to the Hennepin Avenue, if you've ever been in Minneapolis. That's the rough section of town. And in the 80s, we'd go down there, and punk rock was the big thing. So we'd go down there, you know, right around night, and look and gawk at all the mohawks and the piercings. And we were like, oh, wow, it's like, this is a scary place. We'd go down and check it out. We always called it slumming. So we always go down to the rough section of town. And we always saw how tough we are as we had our windows up and doors locked going through town. And I'm like, how ultimate slumming is God who left heaven? You know, the place I look forward to going to. God left that to come here. What a letdown that must have been. But he came down, and so it struck me as we were singing these songs and you know, the Christmas carols, even though they're so familiar, are so meaningful. And then on the flip side, because we were down there and some people don't want to sing all the religious ones, we were singing some of the secular ones. And the secular ones are like Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus is coming to town. And I'm like, what a contrast. Because when you take Christ out of Christmas, that's kind of what you're left with. But when you put Christ back in Christmas, oh, what a meaning that is. It just struck me last night. It was just the contrast between the two things. And I'm so glad that we can celebrate Christmas with Christ. What a meaning it has and a depth it has. How it changes everything. And so I just have a three-part series. We're going to be talking about Emmanuel, God with us. And I think about this. When God came, what did he bring with him? Right? Have you ever been invited over to someone's house? And I don't know if this is right or not, but I know growing up, we're always taught that if you go over to someone's house, you always ask, at least offer, what do you want me to bring? Right? And sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes, you know, bring a dessert or bring a drink. But if you're going to go somewhere, always taught the polite thing to do is to bring something. At least offer to bring something. You know, I'll bring the hot sauce. I'll share. Right? And I think about when God came, he didn't come empty-handed. And so I just want to go through this series and talk about when he came. And we start talking about Christmas and, you know, what will Christmas bring? What will Christmas bring this year? You know, the new pair of shoes or... We find ourselves, you know, looking at the things that we need. And maybe it's just with an age thing and that you get to a point where, you know what? You know, what are things that we need? And we're needing less. I don't need as much stuff anymore. You know? And so it's like, well, you know, I could use some socks, I could use some underwear. Too much information, I know you don't need to know that. I remember getting socks as a kid. Anyone else get socks? You know, I was like, and we were really good. I was really good at guessing what gifts are. So we were outlawed from touching the gifts underneath the tree because my mom got mad because one year I knew what everything was before because it's just by touching it. You know, so we weren't allowed to touch. So Christmas morning, you know, we get the gifts and we always started with probably the least expensive things. So one of the first gifts on Christmas morning was socks. It's like, yay, thank you, Mom. Especially like when we were kids, because you had the white socks that came up to here with the blue and red stripes on them. Right? And we don't, you know, they were styling. It's like, ah. Then we're trying to think of, you know, because I don't want to buy my wife socks. You know, I'm not going to get her a vacuum cleaner, because I don't see that going well. What is something that she normally wouldn't get? And that, you know, I think both of us try to. What's something that you normally wouldn't buy for yourself? Right? I want a gift that is kind of a, you know, not, I don't want to say a splurge because we're cheap. But something that we normally wouldn't spend for yourself. What would you get? And so that's kind of the pondering. Okay, what's something that she wants that, you know, she normally wouldn't buy for herself? What will Christmas bring? And I can't help but think that we talk about Christ being born. And what expectations do I have of that? And we turn off the sort of the secular and the worldly wants and all that. But look at it spiritually as we talk about Christmas and what does he bring. And I have three things that I'm going to take each one each week. But the first thing I can't help but think, when God came with us, one of the things he brought was hope. He brought hope. You get Christmas cards and they're lovely pictures. Actually, before you guys all head out, I brought my card, so I'm going to stand at the back door. And you all get a Christmas card. There's no socks in them, Jim. There's nothing, all right? You know, but they're, you know, pretty pictures and gold and silver and sparkles and always talking about it's a time of cheer. But you know, life still happens around this time of year. Things get tough. Things are rough. And sometimes I don't feel like being ho, ho, ho. Well, my wife calls me Scrooge anyways. But you know, just because it's December doesn't mean everything's peachy. And sometimes we look at the holidays where we have this expectation of being so joyous that sometimes it even brings it down even worse. But when Christ came, he came into a world that was broken. He came into a world that was struggling. Israel had been in captivity now for 400 years. Think about that. Between the Testaments, between Malachi and Matthew, about 400 years had transpired. They were waiting for their Messiah. Rome was a hard taskmaster. For standing up and just proclaiming what you believe, you could get killed for that. It was a tough time. And Israel was waiting impatiently, or impatiently. I think so many had given up. Is he going to come? That Christ came, he came into a dark world. And the first thing I can't help but think is when he came, he brought hope into the darkness. The idea of hope is, look, I'm looking forward. Hope is looking down the road. And sometimes when things are going so well, we get caught up in looking right here. Right? Maybe when things are going bad, I get caught up in looking up right here, right now. Right? Is this always going to be this way? Right? Is this how life is now? Hope takes our eyes off of here and now and makes us look forward down the road. And what's going to happen down the road? And as Christians, as Christ came, as God came and dwelt among us, in here, He came into the darkness. He comes into our darkness, into the struggles we have in life. He comes into the hurts that we have. He comes into all these things, and He shows us that something better is down the road. I'm thankful for that. You know, this year has been so hard on this body of believers. There's been a lot of struggles. There's been a lot of goodbyes. There's been a lot of hurts. A lot of sickness. Yet we don't lose up hope because Christ came. We know something better is coming. And in the darkness and in the struggle, we can just follow Him. I find it interesting that in here, in Luke, we talk about the Christmas story. The first thing we come across is we talk about the shepherds out in the field. It says, Luke 2, verse 8, says, now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. I find it interesting that when Christ came, it was at night. Most of the world was sleeping. Unaware of what was taking on that night. The shepherds were out on the hill. I don't know if they were happy or not. Oh, we're out here again. And God interrupted the darkness. In the midst of the night, the angel appeared and said, guess what? Everything's going to change. There's hope. To break up the cycle. Things don't have to be like they've always been. Things will change. When Christ comes into the world, He interrupts things. He shakes things up, but He improves things along the way. He breaks into our darkness. And maybe things have been kind of dark for you. And Christ comes in. He gives us hope in the midst of it all. I love the verse that says, He has a peace that passes understanding. I like that verse because what that means is, you know, when your brain looks at the situation that you're in, and every fiber of your body wants to say, ah! Right? You ever want to just want to freak out? I can't take this anymore. Right? Stop the world, I want to get off. A lady many years ago told me, Pastor, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I've worked hard for it and I deserve it. And I looked at her, I'm like, I knew she had, she did, right? She earned it. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ. That we know in the midst of it all, we have Him in the darkness, in the darkest hour we have. When one of my daughters was younger, you know, a lot of kids don't like the dark. And she had this little toy. It was a little glow worm. I don't remember those. It was this little plastic glow worm. It was, I don't know. A little thing with Jamie's head, a little hat. And when you squeezed it, it would glow. That's what glow, hence glow worm, right? Without that, it'd be just a worm. And I don't think she'd want that. But put her to bed and she'd have this little glow worm and when she got scared, waking up in the darkness, she can just give it a little hug and it would light up. It's amazing how much a little light can make a big difference in the darkness that we have. And when God came into this world, He showed us things don't have to continue the same. He interrupts the darkness. He shows us light. And sometimes in the middle of it all, I need that. You know, we get busy, we get consumed. The stresses of this world pull on us every which way. I can't tell you how often I need to say, Lord, I just need a little bit of light. And He does. Sometimes it's an answered prayer. Sometimes it's a reprieve. Maybe it's just a reminder that God's still there. Men's breakfast. Sometimes it's a parking space that God opens up for us. God shows us these lights along the way that He's still there in the midst of it all. That reassurance. Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light in the middle of the darkness that we have. My heart goes out for the world. My heart goes out for those that do not know Him, because they're just wandering around in darkness. As a Christian, I don't know how people who don't have the hope of Christ go on. I'm thankful no matter what's going on, I can stop and pray to God. I can pour out my heart. I can pour out my frustrations. I can stop and just praise Him. You know, God, that was an awesome sunset you did. Oh, thank you. But in the light and the darkness, Jesus is there. Thy word is a light into my path. Right? I can follow Him. He shows me. Now, I don't always know where I'm going. I just got to follow the light. Keep my eyes on the Lord. And I'm trusting Him that He will work all things out. Emmanuel, God with us. God brings hope in the darkness. The second thing I want to look at this morning is He goes, bringing hope to the waiting. The idea of waiting. Remember I talked about between Malachi and Matthew, about 400 years had gone by. That's a long time to wait. Even today, the Lord talks about He's going to come back again. And Peter tells us that some people say, hey, you know what? The Lord says He's going to come. He hasn't. Maybe He's not going to come. And you're reminded that God's not slack concerning His promises. God's going to keep His promise. Just not on my time frame. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes have a hard time with that because I want it now. Right? We're watching Willy Wonka. And I'm often like the little girl with the goose. You know, she's the bad egg. And she sings that song, I want it all and I want it now. I want it now. I don't want to wait. Now some of you are much more patient than I am. But I'm one of these guys that, first of the year's coming, eat all over the holidays, I'm going to try to lose weight. And I'm the guy that will get on the scale, weigh myself, say, ooh. Then I'll skip a meal and then walk around the house and then I jump on the scale afterwards and it hasn't changed. Right? It's like, what? It takes time. No, I want it now. You know? I want the instantaneous. I ask God to answer my prayers. I get on my knees and I pour my heart to God and say, God, okay, this is what needs to be done. And I get off my knees and, okay, God, did you do it? Oh, the waiting. It's so hard. The book of Galatians tells us, and this is probably my favorite Christmas verse, but it's not in the Gospels. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says this, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as son, when the fullness of time has come. In plain English, it says, at the perfect time, Jesus came into this world. It wasn't on anyone's timetables, it's for God's. And God has good timing. If I trust in Him, I can rest in Him. I know He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And even though I might get impatient, I'm like, okay, Lord, it's Your clock, not mine. I just need to kind of sometimes just hang on for the ride. And maybe that's where you're at. I don't know when God is going to fulfill all these promises. I just know He says He will. And God keeps His promises always. So in the waiting, I'm just called to be faithful. How am I doing until He comes? Right? My job isn't to make it happen. And maybe the situation that you're in, there's nothing you can do. Right? God has kind of taken you and put you on sort of the roller coaster of life. He sort of buckled you in and you just can't get off till the ride's over. But He's with you until all these things. Titus tells us the promise. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deeds and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Looking forward to that blessed hope. Then here, I know the Lord is coming. I don't know when. And there's some days I'm like, Lord, come right now. You ever felt that? Lord, just come, right? Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. This ain't fun no more. Stop the ride. Right? You ever prayed like that? Just make the pain stop. Lord, show me something clearly. And He says, just wait. They that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be faint. Waiting on the Lord. The Bible says tribulation brings patience. That in here, and some of you have been around the block a few more times than me, and you should have more patience than I do. Right? I mean, you have more of your life to look back on and say, you know what? God answered my prayer. God saw me through this. You have more experience to look back on and say, okay, God, you've done all this in the past. Now you've got to do it forward. I don't know if it works that way. I don't know if I'm more patient now than I used to be. Depends on what it is. But God is faithful in the waiting. But He will keep His promise. He will do what He says He's going to do. His word is true no matter what. I can't help but think, you know what? In the middle of the night, in the darkness that we're in, the sun will always come up. No matter how long the night may seem, a new day comes. I can't tell you how many times over the course of my life I have been tears on my knees, pouring out my heart to God. And say, God, stop the ride. God, I can't make it through the night. And I've read the Bible and poured tears onto the pages as I've gone through seeking God's answers until the sun comes up. A new day, a new hope in the midst of these things. God promises when He came, He brought a proof that what He says He will do. It's in His timing, not ours. The last thing I want to look at. When God came, Emmanuel, God with us, when He came, He brought hope to our struggles. Matthew tells us, and she brought forth, talking about Mary, forth a son. You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their what? Their sins. The whole purpose of Christ's coming was to deliver us from the things of this world. Of the pain, of the hurt, of the shame, of the sin that we struggle with. That's why He came. You know, we celebrate that He came, but we got to remember why. And because of this, He came in because we were hurting. He came into this world because we were lost. He came into the world because He knows our condition. And He came to seek and to save the lost. Luke tells us, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed. Talk about Mary and Joseph. So they traveled down to Bethlehem. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, if you could pick your family to be born into, would you have changed it? Now, I love my mom, and I like my siblings. No, I love my siblings. But you know what? If I could pick, I'd probably be born in a family that has lots of money, lots of things, travel, right? I mean, if you could pick, how many of your circumstances would you choose to be different? God came into this world, and He is used to sitting on the throne of glory, of being worshipped and adored by the angels, of what He said accomplished and was done like that. He left all of that and came down to earth, and He didn't choose the best. The best homes, the best palaces that have servants. He didn't do that. He came down into the lowest. We were at Gnu's Club, and I love telling the stories to the kids, because a lot of them haven't heard the Bible stories. And this past week we were talking about Mary and Joseph traveling and trying to find a place, and they couldn't, and there was no room in the inn. I said, so they came into a stable, and the kids were like, oh! I said, and then Mary had the baby Jesus, and she wrapped him up. I said, you know where they put him? She's like, what? I said, they put him in a manger. I said, you know what that is? It's like a feeding trough. That's where the animals eat out of. And the kids were like, ew! Right? I mean, God came way down for us. So that He would know us. Now, I always find it interesting. And, you know, I grew up pretty poor. And it's interesting, you ever talk to people who were much better off than you? And then they try to tell you, well, we kind of understand what it's like, and you know, they just have just a different life. I always find that this time of year, my favorite commercials are all the car commercials. Right? And I don't even know what vehicles it is, but I love it that the husband's like, oh, I got us a surprise. And they go out, and there's a truck, two brand new vehicles. And, oh, this is, you know, and it's like, oh, wow. I've never gotten a car for Christmas. Honey?
Put it on the list.
Put it on the list. Right? I'm just like kind of blown away that, you know, it's like, wow. Right? I mean, I got an office chair one year. It had wheels. Right? But you talk about, you know, this, you watch the commercials, and sometimes there's just a disconnect. Right? You know, honey, I just bought you this, you know, $40,000 gold earrings from Jared's. Right? Now, if anyone got that, I want to spoil it for you. I mean, that's... Right? But I just find it interesting because that's not at all where I'm at. And sometimes the people who kind of are in that bracket in life just don't kind of hang out in the same circles I kind of hang out with. And they don't understand. Yet God came down to our level. So He would understand and He would know. Hebrew puts it beautifully. It says, for we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Think about that. That He came down to experience what we did. We know they were not a well-to-do family. Mary and Joseph, when they dedicated Jesus, didn't have a lamb. They brought two doves because that was the offering that a poor family could do. They couldn't afford a lamb for the sacrifice. So they brought two doves. Jesus grew up in a home with a carpenter, of a man who worked with his hands to provide for his family. As Jesus grew, He had siblings. Mary and Joseph ended up having children after Jesus was born. He knows what it's like to grow up in a family. It's interesting that none of his siblings believed that he was the Christ until after the crucifixion. He knows what it's like. That Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed, Judas. He knows what it's like to be alone. That on the time when he needed his disciples most, the night he was arrested, they all abandoned him. He knows what it's like to be falsely accused. He knows what it's like to suffer for something he didn't do. On the cross, he took our sins upon himself for nothing that he did himself. Abandoned and alone and rejected. Does that sound familiar? He knows loss. I think one of the most touching passages, we have Jesus coming to Lazarus, which was one of his friends, had died. And he stands at the graveside. And we have the world's shortest verse, is Jesus wept. Jesus knows what it's like. And because of that, the last part of this verse is so important. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Because he knows, because he understands, so much more than I think I even comprehend, that in here I can come to him and you can come to him and you can pour out your heart. And he says, "I know." He goes, "I've been there." And God wraps his arms around us and loves us. That's an amazing thing. God knows me and he loves me anyways. Now you look at me and you might think I'm lovable. I'm a jerk. I'm a rotten sinner to the core, except for the grace of God. You know, I can put on the front and put on the hairspray, and I can put on the act, and I can put on the smile. And probably if you all really know what I really was in the inside, you probably wouldn't like me very much. And before you get all judgy, you're probably the same thing. You know, when I was a kid, I always thought, wouldn't it be great to have mind-reading powers? As an adult, I'm like, no way. I know what comes out of people's mouth. I don't want to know what's in their head. I don't want to know what people are thinking. You know, some of you are like, "Pastor, shut up. Let's get out of here." I don't know. Lunch is next. Let's move on, right? I don't know. But think about this. God knows everything about me. There's no hiding from him. And he loves me anyways. That's awesome. And because of this, it shouldn't draw us further away from God. It should draw us closer to him. And he knows, he understands. He says, "Tell me." And in here we find grace and mercy he pours out on us. And we talk about God with us. In here, bringing hope. He came into a dark world to bring light. He came to a world that's been waiting to give hope. That in the middle of our suffering, he gives mercy. All because he came. What a wonderful gift the Christmas season is. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you came, and you came into our dark world and brought hope. Lord, help us just to love you more. As we read in Hebrews, help us to come before you, Lord, to love you more. All because you know us, and you love us still. Lord, turn our hearts towards you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.